So in January, Gary and Mary, Chris and Mary Beth, or Mary Ellen, Brent, Amy, Cammy, Jessica, and I were at a sectional meeting in Milford, and we had an icebreaker. So everybody there, they said, we're going to put some pictures up on the screen, and you have to tell us if they're a pastor, if they're a global worker, or a chaplain. And so they began to put up these slides, and then they put up Mark's picture. And so it's like, I know him. and currently he is a chaplain, so got it right. And but he also is a husband and a father and a grandfather and a former pastor from Gothenburg, Nebraska, and he is formerly a chaplain right now. And so let us welcome him as he comes and shares with us what the Lord has placed on his heart.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Christy. It is good to be with you folks today. As you know, I've been here before, and it is always good to be with you. It's always good to be down here at Radiant Springs. So I want to begin with, let's just begin in prayer, shall we? That's good. It's a great place to start, isn't it? Father in heaven, we come before you this beautiful, beautiful day that you've created. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for the very breath that is in our lungs that we sang about. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to be here and to worship you and to honor you and to praise you. And God, we ask that as we're gathered together in this place, that you would begin or continue to do a holy work in our lives, that you will continue to refine us, and you would continue to grow us to be the men and the women, the boys and the girls that you've called us to be, Lord. Father, we know we're on this earth for a time, for a season, whatever season that is. And God, we're asking for an empowerment of your Holy Spirit to live out that which you've called us to do, that we would continue to run the race and to finish strong in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, Lord, we lift up Pastor Brent and Amy to you and ask that you would refresh their hearts as they are away. Pray that you would continue to minister to them and that you would fill them afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, that they would be refreshed as they come back. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Well, today I want to talk on the Holy Spirit. And I know that obviously we're Assemblies of God Church, and it is very typical for the Assemblies of God to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Today, I'm not going to do that. Today, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit that dwells, it's the same Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of God that dwells within each and every believer, and specifically look at what Jesus has to say about that, as well as other text from the scripture. So we'll be going through a lot of text today, a lot of scripture today. But I want to begin in John chapter 14, and I want to read four or five verses out of John chapter 14. So if you have a copy of scripture with you, you can turn there. Otherwise, there will be scripture up on the screen for you to take a look at. But if you do have scripture and a copy, like a paper Bible, I just encourage you to write down something in your Bible as the Lord would happen to speak to you. Or if you have a digital copy, to highlight something, just to get the fullness of whatever God wants to speak to your heart today. So out of John chapter 14, starting at verse 16, we read these words, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So let me just read that again. I'm reading out a different translation that I normally read out, so it's just kind of, it doesn't jive with what my mind thinks it should say. Sorry about that. So verse 17, that is a spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Let's skip down to verse 26. Jesus says these words, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Lord, I pray that as we open up your word and examine your word, that you will speak deeply into our hearts, Lord. I pray, Father, for each one of us, that you'll give us fresh revelation, a fresh understanding of your word, a fresh knowledge, a fresh endowment of power by your Holy Spirit to know and to receive your word and to grow in your word. Lord, use this time together to do a wonderful work. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. So let me walk through these verses, and I want to touch on the components, if I can use that word. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but let me talk on the components of these verses and what they say about the Holy Spirit. First of all, in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That word helper in the Greek is parakletos, an intercessor, counselor, advocate, comforter, helper. In a Bible I have at home, I think it's the Life and the Spirit Bible, there's a definition of that word parakletos, and it goes like this. Counselor. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as, quote-unquote, another counselor. Counselor, the Greek parakletos in classical Greek, denoted someone called to send or to help. It was sometimes used as a technical sense as a counselor or spokesman, but not in a legal sense, but as a friend coming alongside to help. In John's Gospel, it has the common everyday meaning of, quote-unquote, helper. And goes on from there. But that's what I want to focus on. In other words, as we look at this word parakletos, we can see that in the English, the words to describe that word are helper, comforter, someone's continually with you, someone abides with you, someone lives in you. You might say, if I could use those descriptors, and if I was looking around the room and I would say to Christy, for instance, I would say, Christy, you know, I find that in your life you're a helper, you're a comforter. Christy, you do a wonderful job of continually being in people's lives. Christy, you do a wonderful work of just being there for people. I would say that's a wonderful definition of the word friend, right? Christy is a friend. And I think that we could probably apply that term to the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every Christian. So if I could use that term, Holy Spirit is our friend. To me, I don't know, that just brings a different connotation. Certainly he's our helper. Certainly he's our counselor. Certainly gives us guidance and instruction, and all of that he does, he's doing that as the role of a friend, someone that wants to continually help us through life, guide us and direct us through life, a true friend. As a matter of fact, as I was thinking about that, I thought of in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, says these words, but a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I don't know, as I was preparing this message, I just thought, wow, That's interesting. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In other words, I could think of the Holy Spirit that same way. Because Holy Spirit is always with me. He's everywhere I go. He sticks closer than any brother I have, any friend that I have. He's always with me from the day that I received Jesus as Savior throughout eternity. He's always with me. He's my friend, and he sticks close to me. It's an interesting, I think it's so interesting as we dwell upon Scripture, as Christy mentioned earlier about dwelling on Scripture, as we dwell upon Scripture, I think we continue to get fresh revelation of what God's Word says to us and how it can impact us and how He can use His Word to use us to impact the world around us. So I don't know why I said all that, just to say that as I was preparing this message, Lord, the Holy Spirit is a friend that sticks closer than a brother to me, constantly, always there. So this word helper, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. Now again, the Greek words, and I'm not going to go over all the Greek words, but as Jesus is speaking these words, He's saying these two words, may be, that He may be with you is a present participle. In other words, that He may be continually always with you. I know I've already said that already several times today, but Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And if we can think about this, particularly from John chapter 14 through the rest of the book of John, Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit to His disciples. Now they've heard of the Holy Spirit, but they're listening to what Jesus is saying in a whole different context. And Jesus is speaking to them, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, but He's speaking to them in a way that they might be just thinking, I'm not sure if I've read this in the Scripture before. I've read about the Holy Spirit in the Scripture, but I'm not sure. And so Jesus says some amazing things about the Holy Spirit. He says that He'll be consistently with you forever. In other words, Jesus was saying to the disciples, there's going to be a time that the Holy Spirit's going to enter you and He will be with you forever. And I think that's an amazing thought, that the moment we receive Christ, the Spirit indwells us and He's with us throughout all of eternity. He's with us. He's with us. He goes on to say this, that is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Another word for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. It's interesting. Well, let me just back up. Let me back up and finish my thought on forever. Again, just looking at Scripture and thinking about Scripture, I think, again, in the book of Psalms, this time in Psalm 139, we read these words. Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed on the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. That's Psalms 139, 7 through 10. Again, that's another, to me, that's another enlightenment of the Spirit. Where can I go that the Spirit is not? I can't go anywhere that the Spirit has not already been or is with me, because He's always with me. Where can I go to flee from Your presence, Lord? I can't. I go up into the heavens, You're there. If I fall into the depths, You're there. If I go to the far side of the regions of the world, You're there. Can I tell you a quick story? It just came to my mind, and let me just share it just because it came to my mind. Several years ago, I went on a missions trip to Mexico, Chihuahua, Mexico, is where I went, with another group of people. And it was interesting going down to Mexico as we crossed the border into Mexico, and as we left, I just forgot the name of the city. You go from El Paso into, does anyone know that? Juarez, thank you. You go into Juarez, things change. Like, just like that. From the standpoint of, I'm looking around at the billboards, and all of a sudden, the billboards in El Paso, they made sense because I could read them. In Juarez, and as we continue to go down into Mexico, I can't read Spanish. It didn't make sense to me as we were walking, as we were going down into Mexico, the words didn't make sense because I didn't know Spanish. The culture was different. The food was different. So many things were different. And I think we went down there on a Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, on this particular day, I remember it was a Tuesday. We were working, we were building a church. And I remember one of the individuals I was working with, and we were working with other individuals from Chihuahua, and one of the individuals that I was working with knew how to speak Spanish, and he was talking with this guy about Christ, and it was a beautiful conversation, though I did not understand any of it. But at one point in time, he said to me, "Mark, let's pray for whatever his name was. He wants to receive the Lord." And he began praying. And as he began to pray, there was something that I felt that was very familiar. And that was the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I was amazed. I thought, Lord, here I am in a country that I don't know anything. I don't know the language. I can't read it. I can't understand it. You know, all the things are different, but there's one thing that never changes. And that's a knowledge of God's presence. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Since then, I've had the blessing of being in multiple places around the world, and his presence never changes. It's always the same. It's always familiar. And so I think of this verse, Psalm 139, Lord, where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I go to the far side of the sea, Lord, even there your hand will guide me. His presence never changes, and his presence is throughout the world. Believers around the world recognize the same Holy Spirit. He does not change. That was amazing to me. So, sorry, I digressed just a little bit. So, Jesus is talking. He's talking about the Spirit of Truth. Talking about the Spirit of Truth. Again, just another term for another term for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth. When I think about the Spirit of Truth, I think about a couple of things. First of all, I think about this. I think the Spirit of Truth guides you in ways of righteous living. The Spirit of Truth cleanses your mind and your heart from deception. And we need that today. Amen? In the world we live in, some things are black and white, but some things are just, there's just enough twist in it. Like, if I can be just really blank, there's enough demonic twist into some of the things we see that if we're not careful, that little twisted hook will grab us. But praise God, the Spirit of God dwells within us. And the Spirit of God teaches us, and the Spirit of God helps us to recognize deception, even so subtle as it is. It's the Spirit of God's work to help us recognize deception. The Spirit of Truth empowers us to walk away from a life of addictive sin. I'm not sure how much to say on this other than I know that it is Sin can be a struggle for each one of us. Doesn't matter how long we know the Lord, but what matters is the depth of always crying out to the Lord. And to know that the Lord can rescue us from sin. He does that constantly on a daily basis. Amen? He always intercedes. But there, I'm talking about sins that can grip an individual's heart. And it's the Spirit of God that gives the grace, the power, the anointing, the equipping to reach down and pull someone out of that addictive sin. That's the power of the Spirit that dwells within us. And then I guess the last point I'll make about the Spirit of Truth is that He is the one who illuminates and gives divine understanding of Scripture. I don't know, let me tell another story, and maybe it's familiar to you, maybe it's not, but I remember before I was a believer, reading, not this Bible, because I didn't have it, but reading a Bible, and reading it, but it just didn't make sense. The words were, well, they're in English, but they were foreign as far as what they meant. It just didn't make sense. Then I became a believer. And I started reading that same word, and the words began to make sense. The words began to click in my mind. I would also say that it's a great idea every time we sit down to read the Scripture, particularly Scripture that we're just, I'm not sure what that means, to pray. And just to say, Holy Spirit, please illuminate your words as I read your Scripture. I remember, this is several years ago, but my wife Annette and myself were fairly young believers, and we went to a church, good Bible-believing church in Omaha, and I remember sitting in the sanctuary. And the pastor is obviously preaching out of the Word. And I remember sitting there and going along with him, reading along with him. And there were certain words on that, in whatever he's preaching at, that just seemed to jump out at me. Like it was those words, just like I was just absorbing those words, that those words were speaking directly to my heart. And I believe that's part of the function of the Holy Spirit, is to illuminate the truth of God's Word and bring application to our lives individually. And I would even say that He can use the same Word, the same Scripture, at different seasons of life for us, and that same Scripture have different meaning, but always good and always purposeful in our lives. And that's a function of the Holy Spirit, as He causes the Word of God to be illuminated on our hearts. So Jesus says, and the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, says this, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. It's interesting, the Spirit of God, by design and by intentionality of Lord God Almighty, dwells within a believer. And the world that we live in does not know of that Spirit, does not understand of that Spirit, cannot spiritually discern things that are going on in the world. It's interesting, at least I think it's interesting, as I talk with people that I know that are not believers about things that are going on, things, current events that are happening in the world, their thoughts about what's going on in the world versus my thoughts that are going on in the world is different. And it's different by intention, or not intention. It's different because there's a reason it's different. Because God has anointed each and every believer with the Spirit of God dwelling with them to be able to look at a situation going on in the world and recognize it from a spiritual standpoint. And recognize the implications of what's going on from a spiritual standpoint. We have that ability. We have that ability to recognize what's going on. So I'd encourage you just to continue to look at things from spiritual perspective. So we have the Spirit of God that the world does not know. And then these last words in verse 17, I think, are amazing. Again, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says this, "But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." Those last words, "he will be in you," I would imagine the disciples, that must have boggled their mind. To think that Jesus is talking about that Spirit, that Holy Spirit that they have read about in the Old Testament, that he came upon certain individuals. I think about when King David built the temple, it clearly speaks in Scripture that God anointed a group of men, that the Spirit of God came upon a group of men and gave them wisdom and understanding how to build that temple. He rested upon them for a time, for a season. And the Spirit left. We see the Spirit of God talked about in other individuals in the Old Testament. And it rested. The Spirit of God rested upon those people for a time. And then was lifted. But Jesus is saying something phenomenal to the disciples here. He says, that same Spirit will be in you. He will abide with you. He'll walk with you. He'll teach you. He'll instruct you. He will be in you. That had to be an amazing statement, something that just, I don't know, maybe caused the disciples just to scratch their heads or think, what in the world? In me, forever, abiding with me. Fantastic words that they're hearing. Jumping over to verse 26. Jesus again gives a little bit more instruction about the Spirit in this chapter. There's more chapters to come. But he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." He will teach you all things. So the Spirit is one that gives us instruction. And I've talked about that. I've mentioned that he teaches and instructs us, but it's this to help you remember. Let me tell a quick story. As Christy mentioned, I'm a chaplain. I work for a hospice company, and I have a privilege of being with people that are in that season of life, and more specifically, their families are going through that as well. There's an individual right now I meet with on a weekly basis, and he's a strong, solid believer. Believes in the gifts of the Spirit and just a superman. And he speaks of the Scripture with such encouragement and such passion, and will quote various scriptures to me and I'm just blessed to be with him. It's a beautiful time to spend time with him. But there's something about Jeff that I knew and kind of forgot about, but he reminded me last week when we were talking. He said, "Mark, my eyes are to the place where I can't read." And I was amazed by that statement because of the way he quoted Scripture. He went on to say, "You know, Mark, I've been a believer for 30-some years, and I just so thoroughly enjoyed reading God's Word." And I thought to myself, and I even said to him, I said, Well, Jeff, do you have a phone? Thinking in my mind, well, you could listen to Scripture. Just put it on your phone. And he pointed over to a table. He says, well, there's my phone. And his phone is one of those old flip phones, like those razors from way back when. And I thought, there's no way he listens to Scripture. And I was just astounded at this man's recollection of Scripture. Though he can't read it anymore, his eyes are too bad. But God brings to him remembrance of the Scripture. And he talks about the Scripture, and he finds joy in the Scripture. Not only does he find joy in the Scripture, what's really fascinating to me, is he remembers reading Scripture talking about suffering and going through hard trials and going through things that are difficult, and now he's in that season of life. And though he can't read the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is bringing to him remembrances of those Scriptures that he read back way back then that are now bringing tremendous delight to him because it's in him. The Word is in him, and the Spirit of God is illuminating the Scriptures that he read back then when he could read. He's bringing to his remembrance and even giving him fresh revelation of what it is to be a Christ follower while suffering. And he's just overjoyed with that. So when I was reading this, I thought about Jeff when I was reading this Scripture, and where it says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Oh, the Holy Spirit is so good. The Holy Spirit is so good. But can I just make an observation from Jeff's life that we have an obligation, could I say even to ourselves, we have an obligation to read the Word and get it in us. And the Holy Spirit will do the job of bringing recollection to it. There's a couple of verses that I want to read. One is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11 and 12 says, for who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Ah, that's amazing Scripture. And God gives revelation to what we have received from God. Another Scripture that I want to read to you in relation to what Jesus is saying about teaching you and bringing to your remembrance. It's out of the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. It says this. It's talking about a time to come. I don't think the time is too far off, but there's going to be a time of suffering that we're going to go through as Christians. Now, I certainly believe, myself personally, I believe in the pre-tribulation. I believe that we're going to be raptured up before the tribulation comes. But I also think that there's going to be a time, and I think we're beginning to see it, where there's going to be suffering around the world. And to a degree, I think we're going to suffer some. It's just my thoughts. I could be wrong on that, but it's just my thoughts. But I say that in relation to this Scripture, Matthew 10. But when they hand you over, do not worry about what you are to say, for it will be given in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. In other words, no matter what situations we go in life, in particular when we're in a place where, maybe if we're in a place where Stephen was, and about ready to be stoned, or he was being stoned. And he simply says by the Spirit, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That took an amazing amount of spiritual integrity And I would say even the Spirit dwelling within in him, speaking out words of life as he was being stoned. Let me jump on to this last portion of scripture here in John. I've always found it interesting when I'm reading through this portion of scripture, verses 16 through 27. It ends like this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Dear ones, we're entering a season of time that it can be easy for our hearts to be troubled, but they don't have to be. We can see things on the news, we can read it, we can watch it on TV, however we digest news, we can digest the news, but we don't have to be fearful. We have, for those who believe in Christ, we have the Spirit of God who is our friend, dwelling with us, consistently filling us with the power, the strength, and the belief to walk through anything and everything that the Lord will lead us through. We have the ability to be overcomers in so many good ways. So as I begin to conclude, if the worship team wants to come up and start getting ready, let me make one final observation out of Scripture. It's out of the book of John, chapter 20. And to me, I think it's a fascinating Scripture. Jesus, contextually, Jesus has died and he has been resurrected. And as a matter of fact, this is even the day of the resurrection. It's later on in the day. He does something I think is phenomenal. He does a couple things I think were phenomenal. Really, a whole bunch of things if I think about it throughout this day. But in relation to the scripture I'm looking at, he does a couple of things that are phenomenal. First of all, he doesn't just open the door and walk through the door. He walks through the door and says, "Here I am," more or less. He says, "Here I am. See, it's me. Behold me. See the marks of my hands, Thomas. They're there." And he's with his disciples. And he says something amazing to them. He says this. It's in verse 20 or 21. No, verse 21. "Jesus therefore said to them again, 'Peace be with you.'" There it is again. Peace be with you. No matter what the situation looks like, even though you're befuddled, even though you're seeing me walk through the door, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Even though you're seeing things that your eyes just simply don't believe, or that you can't believe that are happening right now in the time you're living in, peace be with you. "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That word "breathed" is only used two other times in Scripture. It's used in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 7, when it says, "God breathed life into the nostril of man, and he became a living being." The other place it's used is in Ezekiel chapter 37, when he's speaking to the prophet Ezekiel, and he says to the prophet Ezekiel, "Prophesy breath into these bones." By that time, the bones have had sinew and skin and everything they need. They're a valley of dead bodies at that time. Not bones, but dead bodies at that time. And the Lord says, "Prophesy breath into these bones." And the bones, as he did that, began to breathe and to live. And Jesus is using this same word again, but as we know, the disciples are alive. They're there, they're alive. But what Jesus is breathing into them is the Holy Spirit. And that's why he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And at that very moment, the disciples were what we would call now born again. They were regenerated, spiritually regenerated at that time. Breathed into them. He breathed the Spirit of life, breathed the Holy Spirit into them. That same Holy Spirit dwells within you and me. Everyone that names the name of Christ, I should say. And that Spirit is our friend. I want to close by praying. And I want to close by praying this way. I've said a lot about the Holy Spirit, and I've mentioned a couple of times that the Holy Spirit dwells within believers. I mean, he does a lot of things. He's a friend and gives hope and all kinds of things. I certainly don't know where people are spiritually here. This might be your first time here. This might be your second or third time here. You might have been here, coming here for years. I don't know, and I certainly don't know where you are spiritually. But I want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ and to receive this friend called the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray right now. And if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand at a certain point in time. But it's Jesus that brings life. He's the one that brings everlasting life and everlasting hope. Without Jesus, we're spiritually dead. Our bodies are going to die, and well, quite honestly, without Jesus, we're going to perish. We're going to go to hell. But with Jesus, we will live eternally because of his sacrifice on the cross, willingly giving his life, that all who believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So with every eye closed and head bowed, I'm just going to say, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, would you just lift your hand to heaven and say, Lord, I would love Jesus. I want Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's all pray. If you'll just follow me, if you'll just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, come wash me. Cleanse me of all my sin. Come abide in my heart. Give me life forever. Come be my friend, Holy Spirit. And guide my life. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. I believe we're going to close in a song and then, and then some prayer after that. But let's sing.
What a great word. Just in things that I've heard recently has challenged my heart to know the Holy Spirit, to know Jesus. How someone will call on a phone, they don't even have to say, hey, this is Christy, you know the voice. Or where I work, I can tell who's walking down the hallway before that person comes. And I'm just saying, Lord, do I know you that well? Do I know the presence of the Lord? Am I overwhelmed with your presence? Are you that friend? And I heard of a pastor that prayed 3 hours every morning. Before he left that time of prayer, he said, Holy Spirit, come with me. Hold my hand. Are we that in that place in our lives that we long for the friendship of God, that we long for His Holy Spirit, that we long to know that He's there, He's going to give us peace, He's going to fill us with that knowledge of the Word. He's going to speak to us when we need to know what to say, but that we be so aware of His presence. So as we close, just reach out your hands as a cup. Lord, I pray that You would breathe on us. I pray that You would breathe on us right now. The anointing of Your Holy Spirit. That You would fill us to the fullness of God. That Holy Spirit, You would be our friend, our comforter, our peace, our joy. Someone to walk with us no matter where we go. That Your Spirit would be familiar. That we would know You no matter where we would be. That we would know You are with us. I pray right now in the name of Jesus over each and every one of us right now, Lord. That You would see our hunger. That You would see our desire to be filled with Your Spirit. Lord, let us receive that breath of Holy Spirit on us right now. Each and every one, to the youngest to the oldest, O Lord God, that each and every one of us would be filled with Your Spirit, with Your anointing. And Lord, as we go from this place today, let us be aware of who You are in our lives. In Jesus' name. Go with the Holy Spirit today.